on 22 through 24. I tell you, I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I've got the easiest job in the world. All I got to do is read and just tell you what it said. That's all I do. So if you are mad at what I say, you're not mad at me, you're mad at the Word of God. I always try to hide that way anyway. So I'm just going to explain to you what this text says. And hopefully you will have the grace to submit to it. Ephesians 5, verse 21. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own, to their husbands in everything. Thus far the reading of God's word, and you may be seated. Did you know that authority does not mean tyranny? Sometimes in our own definition of those words are the same. And did you know that submission does not mean inferiority? And again, sometimes whenever we use that word, we think that's what it means. Authority is tyranny, and submission does mean inferiority. But it doesn't. Submission to God, submission to His loving rule, is a very, very good thing. In fact, it's another way that we summarize that is faith. We trust God. We submit to God. And when we, in faith, submit to Him, when we, in faith, obey Him, we please Him. Submission to sinful self, I did it my way, is a really, really bad thing. It's actually called in the Word of God, and ought to be called everywhere, rebellion. Rebellion against God. Rebellion against our rightful authority. A lack of submission, we could call it. And submission, what is it? Well, we tend to agree in general anyway with, authority, especially authority from God, is a good thing and we should submit to it. But we'll say that in general, as long as we keep it in general terms. You know, God is my authority. I call Him Lord and I mean it, and I'm going to do what He says. So He is the Lord, and I am to submit to Him. But then when He gives specifics, sometimes we begin to waffle. And that's really what He's doing here. He gave the general command, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And now, for most of the rest of this chapter, He's getting into specifics and even into the next. Wives, what this means very specifically for you is submit to your husbands. And children, submit to your parents. And workers, submit to your employers, your masters. What is submission? Submission is a humble recognition of God's providential order. That's what submission is. The first independence movement didn't turn out so well. When Adam and Eve rebelled, having a lack of submission to their God in the garden, it was not a good thing. But submission to God and submission to God's delegated authority is an exceedingly good thing. Submission to God's delegated authority honors God. And we are to be those who honor God. And also, this is sort of a byproduct, but when we submit to God's delegated authority in the home, the church, and the state, it builds society. Yes, it builds godly society, but it builds society in general as well. For you can't build any kind of society without some kind of submission. But also this biblical submission, it protects and it nurtures those who are under its care. Anyway, two more introductory remarks, then we'll get into the text. This text is given to us about wives submit to your husbands in the context of mutual submission. In fact, if you really look at the verse 22, you will find that the word submission isn't even there. It is borrowed, it is necessarily borrowed, it is inferred from verse 21, which does two things. It ties these two texts together. This is an example of the submission that we are to have for one another. This is an example in a very specific situation. And it shows that submission is to be mutual. Meaning we are to fear one another in our rightful place and calling out of the fear of Christ. And the fact is that everyone is under submission. We're talking about God's delegated authority, and everyone, at least I think, everyone is under the authority of God. We may not think we are, we may not like it, but we all are. We are created in His image and we are under His authority. And we in the church in particular, we are to exercise mutual submission. So this submission which I am calling for, I'm not calling for submission because society in general demands it. I'm not calling for this submission because good order in society requires it. I'm not actually asking you to submit because you have no other choice. I'm asking you to submit out of reverence or out of the fear of Christ, because that's what the text says. And secondly, this whole passage that we're going to be doing piecemeal here, this passage is really about the relationship that Christ has with His church. And what Paul's doing is he is drawing applications from the relationship of Christ to His church to marriage. But this whole passage really is about the relationship between Christ and His church. In fact, as we go through this piecemeal, I'm going to return to it again, and we're going to speak about it from that perspective. But for now, we will look at the text in verses 22 through 24. But the command, what is the command? Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Maybe I won't get in trouble from this crowd from preaching this text, but there's people in the world who the feminists would get really mad at me. I'm only saying what the Word of God says. They would call me names, perhaps, for preaching what the Word of God says. But the Word of God doesn't only teach this in one isolated place, and it must be culturally conditioned anyway, so we can just forget about it. It teaches it over and over and over again. Let me just read you a few other places. Here, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Titus chapter 2, be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands in 1 Peter chapter 3. So this isn't a single isolated incident. This is the Word of God. And God tells wives to be subject to your own husbands. Well, what is submission? We try to give a definition of it. This is my own, so it might be wrong. But it is the voluntary, sincere, joyful yielding to the leadership and the decisions of another out of reverence for Christ. That was pretty good. Let me read it again. The voluntary, sincere, joyful yielding to the leadership and decisions of another out of reverence for Christ. Now let's apply it to wives. Wives must acknowledge, according to this text, that their husbands have a headship over them. They must acknowledge the headship of the husband. He, the husband, has authority, God-given responsibility for them. And they need to recognize that headship. Secondly, wives must follow the headship of their husbands, meaning they must submit to his leadership and his decisions. And then thirdly, maybe this is even more difficult, wives must respect the headship of the husband. This gets out later in the text, but there is to be, when the decision is made, there is to be no nagging. There is to be no undermining his decisions. Well, I know that was a decision was wrong, and I'm going to make sure I undermine it every possible turn to show that I'm right. Or there is to be no really fighting or really contention. And does this submission, this voluntary yielding to the decisions of another, does it imply that the wife is inferior to the husband? No. Again, when we preach this, that's what everybody hears, and that's not what the text is saying. It's not true. Jesus submitted to his heavenly Father. He said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And Jesus is not inferior to the Father. So this submission is not saying that wives are inferior to the husbands. It's not saying that in the least. And notice in the text, wives are to submit to your own husbands. not to every man, but to your husband. In fact, as I was studying it this week, I thought, you know, for the sisters in Christ, God, your sovereign God, your Lord, your Master, your Savior, He has asked you to submit primarily to two men. And it is the two men who ought to love you the most. It is your husband and your father. Of all the people that He could have asked you to submit to, He chose your father who should love you and your husband who should love you. There is a connection, a father-daughter connection. I have it really bad, or really good. I'm not sure how to say that right. But I love my daughters, and I would do anything for them. And the problem gets, I get to a problem sometimes when they know that I'll do anything for them. But they don't take advantage of it too bad. But I love my daughters, and I love my wife. And God has given me headship, has given me authority, has given me responsibility for them. But this text really isn't about me and the husband, it's about the wives. And they are to voluntarily and willingly submit to, ideally, the men in this world that love them the most. That's what God is asking. And if you, sisters again, if you have a difficult time submitting to the men that are to love you the most in this world, what does that say about your submission or your voluntarily yielding to God's delegated authority? Not just in the home, but anywhere. We are to submit. Wives are to submit to their own husbands. The one who loves you, you are to submit to. The one that serves you, the one who is to lay down His life for you. The one that God has called to care for you and to nurture you, to protect you, to provide for you, to cherish you. That is the one that God is asking you to submit to. And husbands, and I'll get you next week, but just a little bit here. You are to make it as easy as possible for your wives to submit to you. Because you are loving them and nurturing them and cherishing them and laying down your life for them and providing for them. And the list could go on and on and on. You are to make it as easy. That's where the confusion gets, because when we say, wives, submit to your husbands, we have a picture of what that husband ought to be. We have a picture of what it is in reality. But then if you read the rest of the text, we have a picture of what it ought to be. What God is calling it to be. And again, we'll get to that more later. But wives, you are to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. When you, in other words, submit willingly and joyfully and thoroughly submit to your husbands in everything, you are submitting to the Lord. You are serving Christ. The Lord has asked you to submit to your husbands. And when you submit to your husbands, you are obeying the Lord. Now, this text maybe is a little ambiguous. He's not saying that your husband is your Lord in this sense. The Lord here is the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you submit to His delegated authority, which the Lord has given to your husband, you are obeying God. You are obeying your Lord. Whatever you do in Colossians, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. God Himself has made this arrangement, and we are to embrace it in faith. God, in creation, has given authority, headship, responsibility, obligations to the husband. And God's commands are for our good, and we are to embrace them. But notice, this text is addressing wives. It says, wives, be subject to your husbands. It is not addressing the husbands. Okay, guys, come over here. I got to talk to you a little bit. You've got to make sure that your wives submit. You know, you've got to require their obedience. You know, it says right here to the wives. There's no place in the Scripture which commands men to subjugate their women. That's not what this text says. It is addressing the wives. Paul, and God through Paul, is appealing to the wives. Voluntarily submit yourselves to God's delegated authority in your husbands. He is addressing the wives. He is appealing to the wives, and he is asking for a willing, voluntary submission in faith out of reverence to Christ. That's what he's asking for. He's not telling you men to make sure you put your wives under your thumb. That's not in the least. In fact, he's not addressing the men in these verses at all. Wives, you are to voluntarily, willingly, joyfully submit to your husbands. And this submission is to be freely, I would even say intelligently and joyfully given. One of the other things that God often, almost always does when he gives us a command, he gives us a reason. He doesn't say, like parents often do, do this. Why? Just do it because I said. Sometimes God has to end there. But most of the time, God also gives a reason for his commands, and he gives a reason for his commands here in other places in Scripture as well. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. So what is the reason? The reason is the husband is the head of the wife. What does head mean? What does headship mean? Well, in Ephesians, it's used two other places already, and it's used of Christ in particular. Let me just read those two. This is in chapter 1 and chapter 4. And he, God, put all things in subjection under his feet, Jesus, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Christ is the head, and he is the head of all things for the benefit, if I could put it that way, of the church. Chapter 4. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So Christ has been given headship over the church for the benefit and blessing of the church. He has authority, he has responsibility, he has a duty to perfect his bride. And that's what he is doing with his headship, with his authority, with his responsibility. And that's what headship means. You have sometimes we narrow it down to, well, the husband gets to have his own way no matter what. That's not what it is. And that's what people hear when we preach these things. That's not what it is. The husband has responsibility and authority. He has obligations for the wife and for the family. And he has obligations that are given to him from God, and he will answer to God for them. I keep preaching to the husbands, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be preaching to the wives. But you see, these things go together. You really can't permanently separate them. If you have a husband, you have a wife. They kind of go together. And the two are to be one. So that's why I keep slipping back and forth. I apologize. But the reason is that the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. And Jesus is the head over all things for the church, for the blessing, the benefit, for the encouragement of the church. This is the way one person put it. He might live around here because his first name is Yoder. Headship means lordship, yes, but a lordship that is expressed most fully in liberating and exalting the subordinate one. In other words, the husband is to nurture the wife, and the wife is to be nurtured by the husband. His leadership is to be a benefit for her. Another quote. The biblical teaching is that God has given to man a certain headship, read responsibility or delegated authority, has given him a certain headship, and that his wife will find herself and her true God-given role, not in rebellion against him, or against his headship, but in a voluntary and joyful submission. So why is this headship given to the man? Now, it was from creation, perhaps. But let me read you some other New Testament texts which reflect on this. This is from 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Timothy 2 and Genesis 2 and again 1 Timothy 11 or 1 Corinthians 11. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman. And God is the head of Christ. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. However, in the Lord, and this is the balancing, however, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originate from God. Let me see if I can summarize that whole passage. Woman was made from the man, and the woman was made for the man, and that is why he is the head. But, or and, they are also equal, and they are mutually dependent upon the other. Men and women, in other words, are different but equal. God has given them different roles and responsibilities, but the husband is the head of the wife, and the wife must recognize, follow, and submit to her husband's leadership. The husband must lead, he must care, he must protect, he must provide for the wife as Christ does for the church. 1 Timothy 2. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet, for, here's the reason again, for it was man who was created first, and then Eve. So man was created first, that's why he's the head. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone, and I will make a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. So woman was made after man, out of the man, and for the man. But all these reasons are why Christ has given headship to the husband, as Christ is the head of the church. The one who is the head, who has headship, has authority, has responsibility, has an obligation to those that he is over. Now, it doesn't mean source. That's just a feminist rabbit trail, but I don't even talk about that. It means headship. It means authority. It means responsibility. Then also says, he, Christ, he is the Savior of the body. Now, there are some people who over-compare the things and says, well, in some sense, the husband is now the Savior of his wife. And that's not true in any sense. This is how Christ has exercised his headship over the church. He did it by becoming the Savior. And that sort of ought to give us men a little hint for next time as to what we are to be doing for our wives with the headship which God has given to us. Husbands have authority to protect, to provide, to nurture, to care for their wives. And we are to do so as, or the women are to submit to their husbands as the church is subject to Christ. So also wives ought to be to their husbands. So how should, in what manner should the church submit to Christ? That's the manner in which the wives are to submit to their husbands. And then to make it even more difficult and controversial, it says in the very end, in everything. But as the church is subject to Christ, verse 24, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. If you're wired like I am, as soon as you hear these words, in everything, wives are to submit to their husbands in everything, your mind immediately goes to the exceptions. I think that's the way we are rigged. When someone gives us a line that we cannot cross, we look to see where we might best cross it. We always want to have the exceptions. And I'll give you the exceptions. There are exceptions. This is talking about wives and submission to their husbands as it relates to family, etc. But I want you to hear the rule first. The rule is in everything. So what are the exceptions? You are not to submit to your husband's leadership when he is leading you into sin. This is again another quote. Submission refers to a wife's divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. It is not an absolute surrender of her will. Rather, we speak of her disposition to yield to her husband's guidance and her inclination to follow his leadership. Christ is her absolute authority, not the husband. She submits out of reverence for Christ, as Paul said. The supreme authority of Christ qualifies the authority of her husband. For instance, she should never follow her husband into sin. Nevertheless, even when she may have to stand with Christ against the sinful will of her husband, she can still have a spirit of submission, a disposition to yield. She can show by her attitude and behavior that she does not like resisting his will, and that she longs for him to forsake sin and lead in righteousness, so that her disposition to honor him can again produce harmony in the marriage. You are not to submit to your husband when he is leading you into sin. Well, what about when he's wrong? Are you to submit to your husband when he's wrong? Is this an exception? There's a difference between being wrong and being in sin. And your husband will often be wrong. Maybe you've noticed that once or twice. But I don't think it's an exception when he is wrong, as long as it isn't sinful. You are still to submit. How about when he is being pigheaded and proud and selfish? Well, when isn't he? No, you shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. I don't think that's an exception either. God is asking you to submit to a sinner who isn't perfect and is going to make mistakes. God is asking you to submit, to encourage, to strengthen his headship, his duties, his responsibilities as much as you possibly can. You are to assist your husband in his God-given responsibilities, wherever they are. But, again, you are not to submit to abuse or sinful neglect or sin of any kind. One of the reasons it's important to know that this command for wives to submit to their husbands is given in the context of mutual submission out of reverence to Christ is because the husband is under submission too. The husband is under authority as well. And if your husband is off the reservation, as it were, requiring sin, making sinful decisions, etc., he is under authority as well. And the wives, I take it, have an obligation and responsibility to call other people in, according to Matthew 18, to correct the husband. So I don't want people to say, well, I have to submit in everything, and that means I have to submit to abuse and neglect and sinful kinds. No, I don't. That's not what this means. You are not to submit to a sinful tyrant. That's not what this text is asking. But even though I gave all the exceptions, we need to hear the rule again. We are to submit to our husbands in everything. That's the rule. And yes, there are exceptions, but I want you to hear the rule. Submit to your husband's leadership in everything. That's what Paul is asking. Now, this kind of submission used to be a lot easier. The cultural assumptions some 60, 70, 80 years ago were far closer to Christian assumptions than they are today. In our culture today, we can't even define what a marriage is, let alone define the responsibilities within the marriage. Our culture has cast itself adrift from the Word of God, from biblical norms. And so it will be increasingly difficult for us in this culture to live according to biblical norms. Hasn't our culture liberated women from biblical constraints? I always found that an odd way of placing it, but they're saying it. That's what most of the people in our culture think. You know, well, women are now liberated, right? They can do anything they want. Women can escape their biology now. You don't have to be a woman if you don't want to be. Women can escape, this is the way the world puts it, they can escape their femininity. And they can redefine themselves in any way that they want. Not according to the way God has created them, but they can make their own decisions. You can be a man if you want. You can be a woman. You can do anything you want. In other words, women now have been liberated to freely run from what they were created to be. That's why earlier when the quote said, well, women will find themselves in true biblical submission. You won't find yourself in any other place But anyway, to keep biblical norms today will mean that we are different. It won't be as easy because the world around us won't be keeping these norms. They won't be keeping these rules. They won't be doing it in this way. And we will hopefully be a witness, a distinct witness. But when we encounter people in our culture, if we're trying to maintain biblical norms, we will be odd and strange and different. We have to be okay with that. But current wives, do you submit to your husbands? Do you honor them? If we go through the rest of the text, do you respect your husbands? Do you rejoice in them as God has given them responsibility to provide, to perfect, to care, and to nurture you? And when you submit, do you submit willingly and joyfully? Do you submit voluntarily? Do you submit in faith, out of reverence for Christ? Do you consider it part of the obedience that you owe to God Almighty or your elder brother and friend Jesus as you submit to your husband? It is my duty to submit to my husband, and that's how I honor God. That's one of the many ways. There's a tendency in all marriages to have sort of a working arrangement as to how things get done. The husband and wife are to interact, and they are equals according to God. There is no male and female before God anymore, in one sense. But sometimes let me put it this way. I'm in trouble here. Someone throw me a life raft. When decisions are made in the home, the wife should be fully heard and fully understood. And nearly every decision in marriage ought to be mutual. But when there is a decision that you can't agree upon, that has to be made, the husband makes the decision. Now, I didn't say the husband gets his way. I didn't say that. I said the husband makes the decision. That's the biblical pattern. That's the biblical norm. The husband is the head of the wife. It doesn't always mean that the husband will get his way. But the husband does make the decision. Do you, when you have a decision like that, and I think in my marriage it's been a handful, in our very brief marriage, it must have been 26 years now. And sometimes when I had to lay down the law, and I said, well, honey, we're going to do it this way. I was wrong. And she was right, and she knew it, and she smiled, and she submitted anyway. And there's other times when I was right, once or twice maybe. But we should make decisions together. But when the decision has to be made and you can't come to an agreement on it, the husband makes the decision and the wife joyfully submits to it, no matter what the decision was, unless it was sinful. But we probably also have maybe as many future wives here as we do current wives. So I want to talk to the future wives a little bit. You are not ready for marriage until you fear Christ. This whole pattern of what the wife should do, what the husband should do, what a godly marriage ought to look like, it can't possibly happen if you are not fearing the Lord. And it cannot possibly happen unless the husband that you find or that God finds for you also is submitting to Christ. This whole thing doesn't work without mutual submission to God out of fear for Christ, out of the fear of Christ. So you, before you are ready for marriage, you need to fear the Lord. You need to know Him. And you need to be good at mutual submission. And one of the ways you can do that is practice it in your home now, the one that God has given authority over you now. Submit to your parents. Get really good at submission because you're going to be doing it for the rest of your life. And you are not ready to marry someone unless you can joyfully, willingly, and thoroughly submit to their leadership and their decisions. So you need to know that someone else really, really well. Because when you say, I do, you are submitting to this one for the rest of your life. And you need to be willing or able to willingly, fully, and joyfully submit to his leadership. I was debating whether I was going to say this or not, but I had a girlfriend once. Believe it or not, I had a girlfriend once. But and she dumped me because she said, I cannot submit to your spiritual leadership. And she was right. So wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord in everything. And husbands, your turn is next. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you do speak wisdom to us in your word, a wisdom which at times is countercultural, a wisdom which is at times counterintuitive. How can we be the most that we can be when we submit? But Lord, that is what you say to the wives. We pray, Lord, that you would give them the grace and the wisdom sufficient for their calling in life, that they might find themselves in joyful submission to Christ and into your delegated authority in the home and in their marriages. We pray, Lord, that you would also encourage them, that they would receive, as it were, from your hand, the leadership that you have given to their husbands. We pray, Lord, that you would also in the future prepare our young women for their marriages, that you would be preparing even now their husbands, that you would grow them in godliness, that they might be prepared to take on the role that you will give to them. And we pray, Lord, that as the culture around us continues to flee from biblical norms, that the cultural assumptions will be far different in the next generation even than they were now. Help us, Lord, to be willing to submit to your word, to be in joyful submission to your word and not to the culture around us, not to the prevailing norms. Help us, Lord, to be willing to let the world frown at us or even ridicule us, but we will do what the word of God says. Lord, you pray that you would bless our marriages, that the husbands would be what the husbands ought to be, that the wives would be what the wives ought to be, that the children would be what the children ought to be. We pray, Lord, that you would use our families to raise the next generation of godly families, that you would continue your work through us. And forgive us, Lord, for we are still sinful. We don't do all things well. There are times when wives don't submit willingly or joyfully. There are times when husbands are ruling selfishly and sometimes even sinfully. Lord, you know our weaknesses. And you knew them when you wrote this word. So Lord, help us to hear and to heed this word for our families so that we might honor you. And bless us, Lord, now as we come for your word to your sacrament, that we might joyfully submit to the head, even the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is coming to nurture and to encourage, to guide, to protect his bride. Pray, Lord, that we would come in faith, receiving with joy the Lordship of Christ. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you prepare for the Lord's Supper, turn in the hymnal again to number 261. What wondrous love is this? 261.
Thank you.
may be seated.